Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I think about last words. You know, you've heard people say famous last words, right? And typically those words are given when someone is dying or they're transitioning. They're coming to an end of a season in their life, maybe a career, a job or something, and people get on the table or speech, and they're about to make their exit or again, they're about to pass away or they're about to pass a baton. When you talk about famous last words, and I think about Joshua, who's a faithful leader, assistant to Moses, took over when Moses passed away, and Moses passed the torch to Joshua. And in Joshua 23, verse 1, it reads like this. It says, "After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, 'I am old and well advanced in years.'" Like, guys, we've been here for a long time. Gathered them all together. We've done a lot. We've been through a lot. God showed us a lot. We've been victorious. And begins to say, "You yourselves have seen everything. You have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you." And you know, you think about Joshua and the Israelites and all the battles that they had, you know, during that period of time. I mean, they were taking the land. They were taking the land. They were going and going and going and going. I don't list all the battles, but I mean, they were, it was a continual fight to possess what God had for them to possess. You know, when God has something for you, it's just not going to, you have to go out there and possess it. You got to take it. You got to go out there and move with the vision that God's giving you. It's just not going to fall in your lap. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, I haven't seen it happen that way. And I don't think the Bible says that, you know, or shows that by example. So Joshua, I mean, he's ending it all here. He's bringing them all together. He's old, and this is like his farewell. He's letting, putting it all on the line. He says, "Listen, this is, don't forget, God. God is the one that fought for you." And you can come to a place in your life where you've been successful. You've been through some valleys and some dips. You've conquered. You've won. You've done well. And it's amazing that how easy it could happen to folks where, in the beginning, you didn't know anything. You couldn't do nothing. No one would give you a shot or a chance or a break. You were a nobody, if you will, you know, in terms of being recognized. That, you know, people say, "Well, I was a nobody. Nobody knew me," so to speak. You're always somebody in God. And all of a sudden, you made it. And then you started taking credit for what God did. That you couldn't do. You couldn't even tie your shoes without God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't tie your shoes without God. And so the first thing that Joshua tells him, points it back to God and said, "Listen, you have seen with your own eyes how God has fought for you." And he talks about inheritance and how the Lord, your God himself, will continue to drive them away and just starts speaking, you know, encouragement to them. And then in verse 6, he goes on to say, "Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left." And when I read that, it just hit me because I just remembered that the book of Joshua starts off the same way. You know, Joshua didn't arrive to a place by accident. He arrived to that place on purpose. God had direction and vision for Joshua right from the very beginning. And if you remember in Joshua 1, I mean, this is what he's telling them now. "Things I've learned. You're coming to the end of your life. You're coming to the end of your transition. The season in your life is over, and you have famous, these are the last words I want to impart and share. And all this whole time together is to tell you this. One is that you didn't do this. God did this. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted. And the second thing is, be very strong. He wasn't telling them to be strong in your strength, your physical strength, but be strong in God, in your character, on what's on the inside. And be careful to obey all that is written without turning aside to the right or to the left. And I think, wow, Joshua gives them the same instruction. The same instruction that God told Joshua when he first started out as a young one. Mm-hmm. Because in Joshua 1, verse 6, well, in verse 1, you hear that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid. Moses may have, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. So Joshua, he experienced on the first hand a passing of a way, a passing of a torch. There was a transition. There was a time of period where Moses did all that he could do to fulfill and do what God's called him to do in his generation. And a torch was passed. And when that torch was passed, that transition, that season was over. This is what the Lord told Joshua. He said, be strong and courageous because you would lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you and do not turn from the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Oftentimes people today are trying to find success. They're trying to find out how to make it happen. What do I need to do? And Joshua is reminding them at his last words, his parting words. He's telling them the very thing that God told him in Joshua 1 in the beginning was, listen, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Let me tell you that the number one ingredient that he was trying to let them know is that, hey, one, God did this, and two, if you want to see success in your life and you want to go on and do what God's, you know, called you to do, if you want to be fruitful, you want to be successful, you need to obey God's word.
Right.
You know, success does not come without obedience. It may look nice, you know, and on the surface, but it doesn't mean that God gave you that success.
Right.
May not be real success. It's important. The important thing that he shares with them, listen, it's not about all of this. These are my last words. I need to tell you that you need what? You need to have to know that God is the one that did this. You need to have humility. And you need to obey God's word. You need to obey the law. You need to obey it. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be successful. In verse 8, he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Listen, the key to success and the key to moving on with God and doing the things is obedience. You can't separate success from obedience. God has called us to live an obedient life. And the way we know obedience is by knowing God's word. When you think about someone's passing away, and I had a chance, by the way, to meet someone, a great young man whose father just actually passed away not too long ago, and we're in his home and talking and just had a really great just conversation. It's really encouraging to see somebody that, you know, that had their goals and just really appreciative for what their parents had done. And he was really shaken up that his father died at a young age. Mm-hmm. And you think about when people pass away, oftentimes, you know, their treasured possessions are really so important. You know, some people say, oh, I kind of want dad's tie, or I always wanted that little thing that dad always had, or mom, or whoever thing, you know, mm-hmm. person is. And some of these things have real monetary value. It could be as expensive as a vehicle or a house or, you know, a piece of furniture. Or some of it may not be monetarily valuable, but it is, it's sentimental, it's mm-hmm. emotional, and it has a high value in your own heart. When you think about it, what's the greatest thing that you possess? What's the greatest thing, the most value you possess in your home that you could give to someone? What's the most? I mean, talking about all the things. I mean, America's got some stuff. I mean, we got more stuff in our storage than some people have their home. We have air conditioned for our storage. Climate control. Our junk is better taken care of than some people around the world. Mm-hmm. So we have some stuff now. But of all the stuff and the things, what is the most valuable thing that you possess? When I think about it, I would say, it's my Bible. Would it be your Bible? I mean, the most valuable thing that you possess, this is something that I touch every single day. Mm-hmm. And I live my life by it every day, by the grace of God.
Right.
And you think about that, if there was a fire and you would to only get one item out of your home, would you run in to go get the flat screen? Would you run in to get some jewelry? Would you run in to get those favorite pair of shoes? If you could only grab one thing, what would you grab? I don't want to get my Bible. Yeah, sure, I can look at it on electronics or whatever, but I want my Bible. I want my Bible. You know what I mean? I want my Bible. But the Word of God is valuable to those who treasure. We talked about a buried gold that was just found off of the seashore of Florida, 1715. Shipwreck from a Spanish fleet, and it had value. But what's valuable to you? Listen, the Word of God has to be valuable to you. How can you obey what you don't know? How can you treasure what you don't read? How can you treasure what you don't look at? There was a story of a woman who left a Bible to a loved one, and she was really wealthy. And they said, the person said, all I got was a Bible. And I was like, I got a Bible. And they got a note that said, read this every day, and you'll be blessed. And as I understand this story, and they didn't look at it. Well, later on, this Bible, I believe, as I remember the story being told, was sold or something at a yard sale, and somebody picked it up. And when they thumped through the pages and they started opening and reading it, there were dollar bills stuck all in between the Bible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and if you think about it, oh my goodness, why didn't you open the book? Why didn't you open the Bible? You didn't think it was valuable.
Wow.
You didn't think it was valuable. Somebody else bought it and they thought it was valuable and picked it up. And it was, you know, some monetary value. But let me tell you, there's far more. It's more valuable because there was some money in it. That's just a story. It's the way to life. It's the way of obedience. It's the way of honoring God. It's the way to connect to God. It's the way to love God. It's not a motivational book like we talked about yesterday. It's an operational manual. It's how you can learn to operate in God's kingdom and in relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. It's the instruction book to life, to yourself. It's everything. And it's not just a book. It's a living book. We're going to talk about Jesus' last words and what the disciples needed to gather as they were talking about last words and what matters most. And we're talking about how Joshua was giving instruction to the leaders, to the officials, as he was coming to the end of his ministry and of his life. I mean, you think about it, you spend all this time with people, you've been leading them, you've been teaching them, you've been showing them the way. And what do you do? You want to, these are your last words. You don't have time to rehash 30, 40 years, however many years, everything, but you want to leave them with what? The most important. Mm-hmm. One takeaway. This is it. And he tells them two things. One, listen, God's done a whole lot in our midst, so don't take any credit for it, basically. He says, God has done this for you, which in turn helps you to, you know, embrace humility and recognize, listen, that God did this mm-hmm. in our midst. And the second thing he says, listen, do not let this book of the law. We didn't get here by accident. We got here because by the grace of God, we're able to obey God and his law. And we listened to him. He warns them about later on not to intermarry with different folks and, you know, nations and stuff. He says, keep everything pure, be right with God. Mm-hmm. He says, don't let this book of the law depart. And you think about what's happened to America, and that have we let the book of the Lord, have we put the Bible aside? I mean, when George Barnes says that only 19% of the church is actually abiding and reading their Bible, that's 81% of the people that don't even read their Bible. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That's huge. How can we be successful? How can we do what God's called us to do? How can we be in right relationship with God if we're not even reading his love letter? If we're not even reading his operational manual to life in him and in the kingdom? If it's not a treasured possession? I want to encourage you to honor the word of God in your life. Honor the Bible itself. Treat it reverently. You know, don't place your Bible just anywhere. I don't like no books being on top of my Bible or my Bible being on the floor. You know, it's just what I've been taught and what I've embraced in my own life and what I like to share with others. Because you want to respect God's holy word. And it's not just about the Bible, but it's about holding them, respecting them in our hearts. Because we're really good at holding stuff nicely and all that type of stuff. And you know, showing that we got a Bible. Mm-hmm. We need to show that we have the Bible in our heart and that we're living it and that we are honoring it by our obedience. Mm-hmm. That's how we show God, you know, we love him.
Right.
All these songs are nice, you know, poems are beautiful. But you really want to show God that you love him. You really want to show him you love him. You obey him. You obey his word. And I think about Jesus as he's getting ready to leave and go back to the Father. I mean, Jesus was here for a period of time, Chris and Pat. I mean, it was a season. Yeah. I mean, he was here. Mm-hmm. He was on a mission to do the will of the Father. He had stuff to do. He taught. He preached for miracles. I mean, he did a lot during that mm-hmm. period of time of his ministry here. Mm-hmm. But there was a time for Peter to go. There was a time. There was a transitional period. There was a season where Jesus' time was up.
Yeah.
And those he was with, he had to give them parting words. He had to give them, you know, help them on this transition.
Right.
You can only imagine what they were thinking. Like, what? This is not working out right. I mean, he was talking about the kingdom of God is at hand. They're talking about him going on a cross. This is, I mean, what is going? You can only imagine what was going through their heads. Mm-hmm. You can only imagine. How are you leaving?
Right.
Are you kidding
you
me?
You just got here.
You just got here. I mean, we were hanging with Jesus. Where That's are you right. going to go now? What? You can't mess this up now. We're going back to the Father. What?
Mm.
You can only imagine. But he was.
Yeah.
And then he begins to tell them, listen, he talks about it in John 16. Listen, but I tell you the truth, he says, it is for your good that I'm going away. It is for your good. And they're thinking, right. Are these the nice things that people say when it's time to say goodbye? I'm saying. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Think about this. Jesus was leaving. He had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. And would Peter be Peter today? If Jesus was still around, you know, Peter had to go through a period where he had to rely on the Holy Ghost. They all did.
That's right.
I mean, they all had to wait for Pentecost, and they're waiting in the upper room just like Jesus instructed them. Because there was another, you know, God's writing the script. Mm-hmm. God's writing the script, and so many times we can get caught up in the script, and we don't like what's happening. There's a season in our life that's changing. Something's happening. You know, we're like, I did not plan for this. This was not part of my 5-year plan. It was my 10-year plan. What's going on? You got to understand that we are just characters. I know you've been told, maybe you've been told you're a character in life, but you are. You are a character in God's screenplay. He is penning out a beautiful, beautiful story, and he has allowed each and every single one of us to play a part. However, we don't know sometimes what part we're going to play. Things change, environments change, people come, people go, things move all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's sad is when we try to go against what the writer's trying to do, because we're stuck on the last scene.
Right.
This last chapter was so good. Why does it have to end this way? He's not done writing it yet. He's writing. And you can camp on what happened yesterday, or you can prepare yourself for what's God doing at the moment and what God's going to do in the future. But you got to be ready. Ready for what? Ready to move with God. Ready to be moldable and just soft and just following in obedience to whatever God is doing, and not be stuck in a way. I mean, if the folks and the leaders were stuck with Joshua, or they were stuck with Moses, we can't follow Joshua. Moses brought us here. They would never experience what happened under Joshua's leadership.
That's right.
They never would have taken and possessed the land. But I thought Moses, I mean, he got us out of Egypt. He was going to take us all the way. This is what we've been talking about all this time.
Mm-hmm.
This is all we've been doing. And all of a sudden, Moses, you're not going to get us in. I mean, we went 99 yards, and you're not going to get us in the end zone?
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah, that's true.
We're not writing the story. God is. And we just want to be good characters in the story. And so Jesus is telling them, listen, I got to go. I have to go. But listen, I'm with you always, always to the end of the age.
That's right.
And I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And if you connect those two, Joshua's saying, listen, you need to meditate on the law, the book of the Lord. You need to meditate on God's word. And you connect relying on the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. That is a good recipe. That is a good recipe to be prepared for whatever God has in store for you. This life that we have as Christians, as believers, it is such a wonderful and exciting journey. And listen, you can acquire so many things in this world. I mean, just living in America, go through a couple of yard sales. Go look in your closet. Look at the stuff that you have. Of all the things that you can possess in your life, because one day you could have absolutely nothing. And we shared about how life is fragile on VFN Radio and how we need to have compassion. And we talked about those living in Slab City in California and how things can happen at any moment where you can lose it all. Listen, your greatest possessions in life are not the stuff and the things that you have plugged into your walls at home or the things you sit on or the things you ride on every day, your vehicles. The greatest possession that you have in life is your relationship with God. It's His Word and His precious Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will continue to reveal. His job is to reveal, to open Jesus up to you, to make known to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the one that ushers you into the things of Jesus, the things of God. Listen, you don't have any problems. You don't have any situations. You don't have anything to be discouraged about. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, take those parting words.
Mm-hmm.
Take those last words to heart and take them for yourself and say, listen, I'm going to meditate on God's word. I'm going to meditate on God's word, and I'm going to trust in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to let the word of God depart from my mouth.
Right.
But I'm going to meditate on it day and night, day and night. And I'm going to learn to have an abiding relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and get out of His way. God is writing a story. Don't mess the story up. All you need is God's word, and all you need is the Holy Spirit, and stay plugged in the vine and abide with God. And God will see you all the way through.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.